Welcome back to HBO Girls Rewatch.
I'm Amelia.
And I'm Evan.
And we've officially made it to the season one finale of Girls.
HBO Girls.
Ladies, how the hell is it?
Oh my God. And 12% men and 2% non-binary that listen to our podcast.
And 0.1% not specified.
We were rooting for you this episode.
We love you, UK. Guys, it's great to be here.
We're all playing footsie under the table today.
You caught us in an amazing mood because I had a major breakthrough this week and Evan went on a trip.
Yeah, I don't know. I went to Boston, so it's like that actually leaves a lot to be desired. But I went to an amazing museum, and at the museum, it was actually the largest art heist of all time participated there. And for me, it's like it's bringing my two passions together, which is like interior design, which is all about this museum, and art theft.
Art theft, like Banksy.
So we're going to introduce our little guests here today. They're one of our closest allies.
Yeah, keep going. Evan's going to do all
of it. Okay, I want to do it. Amelia and him actually host a show together, a comedy show called Early Years. My two nipples are out for this one. They also host another show together called Soapbox, which is about 35 performers just talking about one thing for 1 minute, and everyone is slightly happy and angry at the same time.
What? Yeah.
Give it up for Charlie Flynn!
Guys, this is huge. Charlie is my biggest support system in my life. It's crazy to have him on.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Did anyone have any good tweets this week?
Hmm?
Anyone have any good tweets this week?
No. So me and Charlie were actually texting about our past Twitter lives this morning. But I used to tweet for them to be good. And now I kind of tweet as like a live diary.
Yeah.
Like right now, all my tweets are about old seasons of Survivor and nobody is interacting. And every time I tweet, I actually lose 2 followers.
Today is actually the 14th anniversary of me starting a Twitter account.
14.
I started when I was 10 because my mom was going on a trip to Italy with my grandmother. And she was like, I won't have service, but I want to keep you guys posted on what I'm doing in Italy. So I'll use this new thing called Twitter. So she had us all make Twitter accounts.
Oh, that's really cute.
And then she never tweeted once when she was in Italy. Because Wi-Fi, because I don't know, service. It was a different time.
Yeah, that's actually really sweet.
But she never tweeted on it.
Keep it up from there.
But yeah, that's the same Twitter account I started like 14 years ago.
Oh my God.
Little did she know what kind of fucked up kid she would have created from that.
Can you believe? And now I'm far past my Twitter peak.
It's like I didn't start Twitter until the moment it started dying. I was like, there's an amazing time to get on down. The day Elon Musk started tweeting, I started tweeting too.
Did you see Elon Musk says he's going to appoint a female CEO of Twitter?
Yeah, he absolutely has to.
Well, that's what we call folks. Amelia, I was talking to you about this the other day. It's what we call the glass cliff.
I don't like when you talk like my dad.
That's when businesses that are about to go under or about to like do really poorly choose that moment to like put a woman in charge.
Oh, yes.
And so then they're like, see, the woman failed. The woman failed at saving her business. It's really bad for girls.
No, I mean, it's really good for our...
Oh, it's good to discuss. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, that was... Sorry.
The glass cliff.
Bad for girls, but good for this girl.
Good for HBO girls.
Yeah.
Which is what our podcast is ultimately about. So Charlie, where were you when you first watched Girls?
Okay, so I have a journeyed story with Girls because I famously have a queer elder who is my brother. My gay brother George, who's 3 years old. Shout out! I hope you're listening. Shout out my sister Hannah.
3 years old.
3 years old. 3 years older. Sorry, 3 years older. Oh, and also shout out my sister Hannah because Hannah Horvath. same names.
And I feel like Hannah, your sister, is Hannah Horvath.
Not
she's quite. A lot sassier.
She's
well, who else would she be?
She's not on that show.
She's on that show. She's in
I love to say that. Whenever people are mapping like who they are on a show, I love to be like, you're actually not
you're
in
not
that
a,
one.
You're not in you're
like,
not
Charlie's
a featured
like,
castle.
Am I in who am I in Broad City? I'm like, you're not in that one.
I'm Bevers.
You're not Bevers.
I know.
I hate when you talk about yourself like you're Bevers.
But George was really into Girls when I was like young. George was like watching Girls. Well, he wasn't into Girls, but he was into HBO Girls. And he was watching that like when it came out. So I would occasionally watch it with him. But I didn't like do full series until the summer between my first and second year of college when I was taking summer classes and I was like living in a dorm room alone. But it's so crazy because I hadn't thought about that period of my life for so long. And then when I got here today, I stepped into the lobby of your building And something about like the smell and the AC and like how cold it was, it like instantly transported me back to that room. So it felt kind of like kismet-y.
Oh my God, you just wrote a poem. Isn't live that beautiful? On our podcast?
About how, I don't know, just the world is circular and about how media can kind of connect us to different moments in our lives.
Totally. It's like when, okay, so my mom used to, we used to drive from Austin to San Antonio to go to SeaWorld this one summer. And I know it's bad and I'm sorry about Shamu. And we're going to talk about the episode really quick collapsed right after fin. This. Collapsed but fin. It would take an hour and a half and my mom would just play every time we drove to SeaWorld the entire Mamma Mia soundtrack from start to finish. So to this day, anytime any song from ABBA plays, I just think of being 11 in a car in Texas.
Aww.
Or being at SeaWorld like seeing dolphins.
That's beautiful.
If listeners can tell I'm a little drunk, it's because I am. I drink 1/3 of a bottle of wine, which is actually a lot for me. And it's because my two friends that take photos for somewhat professionally made me.
It's okay.
It's totally like living in New York tell. And like hanging out with new people. You can't be sober.
Mm-mm. Unless you want to be.
Well, I was saying it's is just Charlie hard. Just revealed that our apartment has AC in the lobby. Which is crazy. People can really narrow it down. They know Hasidic and they know AC and lobby. It's like.
And meanwhile, I thought I had the AC running preparatorily. I love.
You're salutatorian.
Preparatorily for the like hours before Charlie got here because I wanted it to be cold, but it was just the fan, so it did nothing.
Perfect.
I will put the AC on a few minutes before you.
So Charlie watched the episode twice and is smart. So we're going to let Charlie give the synopsis before we jump into synopsis. Our first segment. So synopsis is time.
I like that.
Really quick. It's season 1, episode 10. She did.
So it starts with Marnie moving all of her stuff out of the apartment because she and Hannah had a falling out. Adam's helping move stuff down the stairs. And then they have kind of like a terse interaction. And Marnie leaves to go move into Shoshana's, and then Adam and Hannah are back in the apartment, and Adam's like, maybe I'll move in. So then it's like, oh, maybe Adam's moving in, maybe this is really serious. And then later everyone gets a text. It's like, there's a secret party from Jessa. No one's heard from Jessa, and then Jessa's all of a sudden saying there's a secret party. Everyone gets dressed to go to the secret party. We find out, we get to the secret party, everyone's there. It's a who's who of the show girls.
Literally, that cast list?
Which is like so random. It's like, why is Charlie in? We can get to
who
it.
Who invited Charlie?
She doesn't know that many people in the city.
I guess. It ends up that the secret party is Jessa's wedding to, I don't know the character's name, but Chris O'Dowd, who was the guy that she and Marnie almost had a threesome with, or didn't almost have a threesome with, but he wanted them to have a threesome a few episodes prior.
Thomas John,
correct.
So funny of them to call him Thomas John. Like, of course that's his name.
And so everyone kind of goes. It's kind of like a fun little wedding, whatever. And then Elijah's also there. He mentions that he needs somewhere to live. So Hannah invites him to move in. And then
Adam's like, I'll totally move in.
But Hannah kind of thinks that's like a him taking pity kind of thing. And so she thinks this is like taking that weight off of Adam. So she tells Adam.
You think she thinks that or she's choosing to think?
Let's not analyze right now.
Yeah, whatever. But anyway, this makes Adam really upset when he finds out. And he and Hannah kind of go at it. And it ends with Adam getting hit by a car, which the car just speeds off.
It was a hit and run.
It was a hit and run, mama. And at the same time, Marnie's hooking up with
SNL cast
Bobby Moynihan. Marnie hooks up with Bobby Moynihan at the wedding.
Saying
after
Bobby and Marnie are hooking up.
I love it. Anyways, Hannah gets on the train, falls asleep on the train. Her purse gets stolen. She wakes up. She's taken the F train all the way to Coney Island. And she gets off and she finds herself sitting on the beach.
Eating cake.
Which is
by the ocean.
Cake by the ocean, which is so Lena Dunham.
And then that's where it ends, season 1 finale.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, amazing job.
She does like
it's chills. No, that gave me chills.
Yeah, no, it gave me chills to watch.
It gives me chills to watch every time.
Cake is such a prop throughout this episode. It is.
It's the core. This episode is the choreography of cake.
Oh, 100%.
It really is. Like the Marnie of it all, the Jess of it. Oh my God. Mm. We have so much to do.
I have so much to talk about, actually.
We're really going to analyze. For those of you who are like, they don't analyze enough today, we're really getting in the thick of it.
Into the thick of it.
But first, we must find out.
Girl!
What girl are you?
My answer is that I'm Hannah and Marnie.
Yeah, I agree.
Mostly Hannah.
But why?
No, you're so Hannah.
I think I'm...
You're a writer that's like feels discouraged.
I'm like writer that feels discouraged, mainly because I don't really write anything.
And that's not
but the that's point. That's Hannah. Yeah, she says I haven't really written anything.
That's all writers.
Like you would go, you would get into Iowa, and you'd 100%. You wouldn't. Well, I don't want to say this about you, but you might leave Iowa.
I wouldn't leave Iowa, but I would want to.
Yeah,
I told you about Morning Pages, and you almost did anything to make me stop.
But I did them for a week.
And not to make this about me, but I'm up to 18 days of Morning Pages.
I love that, Jeff. You type your Morning Pages on a website.
I love that.
It's like I can't read my handwriting. I want to know what I'm saying one day.
You're supposed to write it and forget it. Does nobody read that?
Yeah, you have to. You're supposed to write and forget.
Go back.
We didn't talk about Morning Pages.
You can go. Okay, but it says you can't go back. I read it.
Really is already pissed at how much she's going to have to cut out.
60 days of it. But then you can go back and read it after the fact. Like, it's not, you're not, the first 60 days is you're not supposed to read. But then overall, you can read it.
You know
it's
what?
It's the first 60 days you're not supposed to.
You've really caught on to that one little note they made. You're right.
I read the first chapter. I told you nothing else. But the first chapter, I really
I will give you that. They do say that.
Yeah.
So we take back what we said. So here's the thing. What makes you Marnie? That you want to follow the rules of life?
Yeah, I think like I'm...
Well, you work in art.
I work in art. And
art PR.
Art PR. And I think like... Yeah, I think Marnie like really like has like this such a specific... Like more than anyone else on the show, she has like such a sense of like, this is how my life is supposed to be. And this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And this is like what you do. And this is how you do it. And she's like, she like tries so hard to like keep herself to that like rigid structure, which I think is something that I'm was like for a long time and have been trying pretty hard to like not be. But I think it's still something that's in me. So I think I'm like trying to like.
One, two, Marnie.
Yeah.
And then we kind of see that dissolve that.
Right. And then you see Marnie like take it in the whole other direction and like blow her life up.
People don't give her enough credit for that. We'll get to that later.
No. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I would say you're mainly Hannah.
Mainly Hannah. Yeah. And that takes a big person to admit.
Well, at the table we have a Hannah, Shoshana, and Marnie.
What is this about you being a Shoshana?
I actually do think I'm a Shoshana because I talk really fast and I don't make sense half the time. And I'm like always hoping for someone to like be in love with my quibby personality.
I think you're internally Shoshana, outwardly a little bit more together.
I'm more together than Shoshana? Yeah. I can't hold down a job.
No.
I think you're Jessa.
Huh.
Jessa, in that just that you're very, like, you're talking to people, like, you're not...
No, I know. I don't have that awkwardness.
You're kind of, yeah, you're kind of whimsical. You kind of, like, have this, like, confidence about how you interact with people.
I'm in that damn apartment.
You're in that damn apartment.
Wait, but this episode, do you think you're most Shoshana? Because you're like, Ray, yeah.
Well, I want to be Shoshana in a Ray situation so bad.
Got it, yeah.
That's something I would die for to happen to me.
Yeah.
For a man to happen to you, yeah.
But, like, for someone to be so obsessed with my my
they
Disney
met you one time and they're like,
yeah,
you're
he's
so whimsical.
I haven't stopped thinking about you.
Yeah.
For being so weird though.
Yeah.
Like, that's something I
yeah, okay, I see it. I see it.
And I fight and crave for.
I know. Yeah. I predicted that you would say that.
Yeah.
And who are you?
True.
And so today is a huge
Can we guess?
Well, today's a huge
day
for me.
What's your happy today?
Well,
you're
I told
happy.
You earlier what I was going to say.
No, I don't remember.
Amelia, guys, Amelia had ego death and has now realized that her purpose in life is to save the women and girls.
Yeah.
Are you Hannah?
Yeah.
You are. You are Hannah.
Yeah, in the way that Lena Dunham was like, I need to talk about what girls are doing. I, this week, realized that it's like okay to want to talk about what girls are doing.
That's beautiful.
But no, I'm Hannah in this episode because when she dances like that.
When she does the halo
oh
dance.
My God.
When she does the I halo love dance. That. I was like, I've never felt more like that's how I'm interacting. The way she is talking to Jess about her marriage is so like if my friend decided to get married too young and you're like trying to be supportive, but you're like, this is crazy. Like the way that.
It's soon.
Yeah.
I think it's soon.
And the way she's like, but I'm going to go with it. Like the way she's laying on the bathroom floor.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, you made the choice.
And it's such a Jessa moment too. She goes, you are so gross. Look at you. I love it. Laying on the bathroom floor.
Oh, I really am a Jessa. Yeah. And I think I would get married in a week.
You absolutely
would.
But the way Hannah is like, or Adam's like, this is beautiful. And Hannah's like,
I know.
It's so funny. And she looks so cute in her little dress. And
I love her little dress.
When she like fakes sick and was like, I feel allergic to something. I've been feeling allergic to something.
Oh, yeah.
There's something in my throat that's allergy.
You've had throat stuff.
So I felt really like Hannah for the first time all season.
Wow. Who have you been identifying with mostly this season?
Well,
I hate to say I'm not caught up to speed.
Well, and you know what? I sensed you listening to the first episode to judge it very harshly and then not share that with me and then go ahead and not listen to the rest until you're on. And when you asked last night, can you remind me what the segments are instead of listening to an episode to find out? I got the image.
I actually, I have to say, I did know all of the segments before you sent them to me. I just wanted to be sure.
Double check. Mm-hmm. And if it sounds like I'm coming on too strong, I am.
this is how we show our love.
It's Marnie.
It's been Marnie.
Yeah.
It's been Marnie. I've been listening.
You've been Marnie. Yeah, you're very Marnie.
Yeah, that's actually why we work.
I feel like if you were in Club Penguin, you would 100% like have like a really organized house, a lot of puffles, and like be really, really good at one game. And probably the pizza game.
That's high praise.
Yeah, that's actually really
high I was actually only good at the pizza game on Webkinz.
That's the same.
Okay, perfect.
I liked Pop Tropica.
Totally see that for you. What's the one that was like
Toontown?
Four cereal? Millsbury?
Millsbury.com.
Oh my God, that was
loved it.
Neopets?
Oh. I never really did Neopets.
I love Neopets.
Neopets, I only would, every time I went on the website, I would make a brand new account because it was the process of making a new account that was
funny. Yeah.
Wait, let's do a Webkinz reveal how many Webkinz we had.
Okay, well, this is going to be easy.
Go.
I don't know exactly how many I had. Probably 7 to 10.
I had one. To get online. The white terrier.
I had 25 Webkinz.
Of course. I remember once I got in trouble. I don't remember why I got in trouble. It was when I was younger. And my punishment was like no Webkinz for like 6 months or something. Like no new Webkinz. Like I could still play on Webkinz.com.
Go to my friend's house
but
steal
I couldn't.
Their codes and then take their accounts
very
and
you.
Send myself their gems.
No, what I would do is my sister's password was cake123. So I'd log into my sister's Webkinz. And mind you, she had like 9 Webkinz. Here I was with just one. I was fighting for my life. So I was like, I deserve to go into her account and then mail myself couches using her Kins cash. It was perfect.
No,
she never caught on because she was 5.
It's perfect. It's how I started actually stealing from stores is I would go to stores and rip the Webkinz codes off and put them in my pockets.
Yeah,
and go home
I fully
and
believe that about you.
Well, you already talked about stealing from Urban Outfitters. I mean, this is where it starts.
You know I don't shoplift. Never have.
I know. There's something about you that loves to follow
the
rules.
The thing is, Hannah would shoplift.
I know.
That's why I said
Marnie wouldn't.
Yeah.
Marnie would if she's trying to be free.
Yeah, Marnie would like never shoplift and then all of a sudden decide and then she's like stealing
the most
iPhones.
Yeah,
but she would never get caught because she's a white woman. Mm-hmm.
So for season 2, we're actually going to change up the segments a little bit. So any feedback that you guys might have about our current segments, we're going to definitely tweet Code O'Clock, I think. And definitely Girl, What Girl Are You? That's a definite. Then everything else is kind of up for grabs.
Yeah, no, please. Our Instagram's at HBO Girls Rewatch. If you want to DM us any notes or like things you'd like to see in the new season, we're so open. We're going to be switching things up and we'd love to hear directly from you what the hell you'd want. But for now, we are doing I'm liking this part right here.
That shot when they're going down the stairs with all the furniture and like Adam's holding the mattress behind him and kind of holding the chair in front of him and like the girls are like kind of leading but they're like making a lot out of it and Adam's like I'll just do it just go. I really related to that because
you're famously a furniture man.
I'm famously furniture man and I'm famously like anytime like my brother or sister, anyone in my family like moves or any furniture needs to be rearranged, I'm always the one who just like does it and my family gets mad because they don't get mad but like I'll just like
you're so aware of them listening.
No, I'll just like get so like annoyed with like everyone trying to like do this or like make it work or pivot or blah, 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 that I'll just be like, I'll do it. And so I just like literally like Hulk out and just like move a chair upstairs or just like random stuff.
Totally.
And that doesn't sound good.
Does your anger strengthen you?
Yeah, totally. It's like when a
Hulk.
It's Hulk. Yeah. It's like when a baby gets pinned under a car and a mom gets like a rush of adrenaline and she can just lift the car.
Oh my God.
That's kind
yeah. of...
What
you do?
No, which did... Girl, what car are you lifting?
When Jean Valjean lifts the car and then gets caught. God, Jean... that part of Les Mis kills me.
There's cars in Les Mis?
Cut that.
No, the like the carriage.
Oh.
And then they're... Because he wants to save like the girl that's stuck, but now they know he's strong and so they go after him. Javar.
I don't remember this, honestly.
I don't remember that part.
I just remember Anne Hathaway.
I just thought kind of the... For the original... For the... initial motion of the entire episode to be these three people moving from the right side of the screen to the left side of the screen and downwards, it shows that like after all of this that they've gone through in this whole season, they're still moving backwards and downwards, and none of them are really kind of doing well by the end of the episode, except I kind of think Marnie wins the episode. We can get to that later.
I think Hannah's doing awesome.
Well,
and I'll get into that.
Okay, we'll discuss.
I really don't see it that way.
Okay, so my favorite part of this episode was absolutely definitely me scrolling through to decide right now.
Do you want me?
My favorite part of the episode was the speech when they're like, this is a wedding, and then Jessa and old John, Thomas John. Chris O'Dowd, who I don't even want to remember Chris O'Dowd. I'm like, guy from Bridesmaids.
Right.
When guy from Bridesmaids talks about meeting Jessa and then Jessa talks about meeting them and it's like their speeches that are beautiful to each other. It's so funny because they're making fun of like all people who get married and their speeches are always like, I hated him, or like, he sexually assaulted me. And then I said, sure. Like, you know, it's like poking fun at that idea of that like half the weddings and half the people getting married like actually hate each other.
Right.
And it's just being so obvious and hilarious about it. And the way Jess is acting and the way Chris is acting is so funny.
It's manic.
Yeah.
It's so manic.
No, I was totally thinking that. I mean, A, Chris O'Dowd just does like a great job at playing just like this kind of like idiot, like financy bro who just kind of like goes with it.
No, jury duty.
Yeah.
You could get him on jury
duty.
He's
jury duty for sure. But I think like Jessa in this episode, it's like when you realize the kind of like, this is, I don't know, I didn't rewatch the whole season before I watched this episode, but it's like
Catherine Hahn in the last episode talked to her.
Right.
And that is the A to B.
Right.
It's like Catherine Hahn spooked her and now she's marrying Chris O'Dowd and I blame Catherine.
And like
to analyze Jessa this episode.
This is really so like I don't know. It just shows like the desperation of Jessa's character that she really wants to hide, that she like doesn't want to think you to think is there. Like she wants to be like so
free
and just like doing whatever she wants and this and that. But it's like, I don't know. This like wedding just feels so clear that like she has no clue what she is doing either. And she is also looking for some sort of like meaning or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, or attention. Some like outwardly like sign that she's following the steps.
Yeah, and it's like this weird thing where it's like, because it feels like such a like boho like wedding that's like an alternative wedding, like blah, blah, blah. But it feels like she's still like playing the part of a girl who's having an alternative wedding. Like none of it feels
organic,
authentic to like what she actually wants. It all feels like how she can perform this like lackadaisical, like, I don't care. Like, oh yeah, we're just throwing this like crazy wedding, even down to like right at the end, like her stupid veil and her short dress. And then like after they say their vows, it like breaks out into like girl rap music. And it's like, you don't actually like this song. You don't want, you know what I mean?
It's
like,
funny.
She doesn't care about that song. She doesn't actually want that song to be playing at her wedding, but she wants to be the girl who her vows end and all of a sudden rap music is playing and it turns into a party.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, like, literally, like the way she's like, I don't even know if I'm boho girl. So I'm going to double down on it and hope that I'm putting on a good show for it.
Yeah. And it's like, she like does this, like has this like sense of like being like so confessional and so real and just like saying exactly what she means. But it all feels so performative and like so calculated.
It's so like, I feel like if you think about like what that looks like now, it's like when TikTok like started popping off and then it was like all these people were going viral because they're so authentic.
Right.
And they had to create this sense of authenticity on these like videos. So it's like them being like overly confessional and like overly like trying to be so organic, like in their car or whatever. Meanwhile, it's so like calculated.
Like how every like TikTok video of like someone talking now, it's like
get ready with me
or like a get ready with me, or it's like they'll be like, So they like take a bite after the first three words. You know what I mean? Yeah. In a way that's like, how many bites have you taken trying to shoot this? You know what I mean? Or they're like, I'm making my coffee as I'm filming this video because I just thought about it. But it's like, you've made 6 cups of coffee trying to like get the right angle to make this video that you scripted in your head.
Well, someone did it one time and it did well. And now everyone has
to do it exactly. For all time. And it's just like, you need to like be doing things in the shot to keep anyone's attention. Yeah.
And just everything is a performance. We're trying to, and especially, as we like are trying to captivate again, it's like in that example, people are trying to allure you in with just the act of just doing something so normal, like marriage is something so normal, but actually it's such a performance.
Yeah. And it's like, everything's a and that's the thing. It's like Jessa, I mean, we don't know, but like maybe Jessa really does want to like be married and like have a wedding, but she's like put herself into this corner where she has to be the boho girl. She has to be the one who doesn't do anything.
She's like, so she's just like, wedding like boho.
Yeah, I'm going to do it and I don't care about it actually.
She wants to be married more than anything.
Well, yeah.
And she also wants to be divorced more than anything.
I don't think she wants to be married.
I 100%
agree. The way Catherine Hahn was like, you need to decide what you want. She got so scared by that because she thought about it for like 1 second. And she was like, I'm going to take the path of least like, critical reflection of self,
right,
and go ahead and marry some guy. And that's why she marries this guy that we saw in a previous episode she literally hates, does not respect, finds so boring, like literally doesn't even kind of like. So it like highlights the fact that like she's making this choice not because she kind of likes this guy and is like, sure. It's like, I am so scared to think for myself and make a choice about who I am outside of like these set up things, so I'm just gonna choose this, which like is so relatable. Like in high school, I was like, I guess I'm just going to like marry some dude and raise a family in Texas, even though that sounds awful.
And it's like because of like the cultural value that we place on the institution of marriage, especially 10 years ago. Like Jessa is doing like one of the most like crazy and like least thought through things of anyone that anyone has done this whole season, any of the girls has done, but because it's like marriage, she gets to also be like holier than thou, and like she's figured it out, and she's like blah blah blah, and she's like, I have, like when she's in the bathroom with Hannah, she's like, I have never been happier, like,
and it's like, I feel like, see,
I figured it out, I'm an adult. Yeah. And it's like, you're doing like the most childish thing you can do, which is like make this spontaneous life decision without thinking through any other repercussions.
But Hannah's like, do you feel like an adult? And she's like,
I do. Yeah.
I also feel like an adult. I mean, that's such an, because the reason she like fell in love with him is because he explains what a venture capitalist is.
Right.
And it's like, so, it's something so beautiful I never really noticed before.
It sounds like an explorer.
Well, yeah, exactly. Last episode, she was talking about the exploration phase. And this one, it's like, what was it? I don't know what the exact quote was, but it's like, it was so beautiful for her to have this explanation of being a venture capitalist.
Right.
It sounds like such a mature. Like, if anyone in finance has ever talked to you, they're using such, like, language that's, like, is literally going back to yours, weaponization.
Going back to yours.
Weaponry.
Last episode, she said weaponry. Yeah, weaponry.
Weaponry.
Is weaponry not a word?
Weaponization.
But not in the context.
Weaponry?
I use in, yeah, but I was thinking about it later. I was like, that still is a word, though.
It is. Weaponry? Like weaponry.
Oh, maybe,
like in a textbook?
But not in the context you used it.
But I used it in the diction and syntax was off.
Anyway, but it's like the words are so like, is this so, it's like you're so easily impressed because the words sound complicated, but in actuality, it's like something so simple as someone just like investing into like startups that change the world, but like they don't actually ever do that and they all fail and it's so egotistical based. And it's like, because it's finance and sounds so complicated and so mature, it's like, look at me, I'm filling this role of a wife. Like, being a wife is something I think she 100% wants to be. I don't know if she wants to get married, but she wants to be a wife in the sense that it's like she likes the idea of being taken care of. She likes the idea.
Right.
But she also hates that. But I think she thinks that she likes being taken care of and like being held like a man's captivation is singularly on her. She loves that idea. And it's played out so much throughout the season.
Yeah. And she really does like want to be married and she wants all of that. But I think like, one of like the genius things about the Jessa character is that like it almost seems like by choosing this guy to marry, by choosing Thomas John, like she's like built in her own escape hatch, because like she knows deep down like she's not gonna be married to him for the rest of her life. But like because he's Thomas John, because he's the goofy guy who wanted a threesome, like when it eventually doesn't work out, she can be like, oh, I was never gonna stay with him. Like it would, like she can just like write it off as a joke. You know what I mean? Even
and
though like she probably deep
rich,
down wants it.
So she can get money.
Yeah, and she's a girl who wants a rich lifestyle, but wants to act like she's a boho girl.
Yeah.
Well, boho is actually famously the wealthy.
Right, 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 right. Bohemian.
That was really good.
It is. You see all those girls that are like wear like the Free People, but are like, there's, what's that brand? It's this one brand. It's like whatever, but it's like $500 a piece, and it's like some like tattered up overalls.
What's like, that like Christian girl brand?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what it's called?
Altered State.
Altered State.
Oh my god!
Don't talk to me about Altered State.
Oh, you threw down some rags in Altered State back in the day.
Altered State. I actually tweeted about this one time, but it's literally this shop in Texas where it's like slutty Christian wear.
They got them all over.
Okay, well, they figured out how to make Christian clothing be so sexy. It's so cool, but you can't be mad at it. It's like the deepest V-necks. It's so Southern. I used to love to shop there.
Is it boho?
I don't know.
I don't know what it is now. It's probably like gone like Rhinestone Nashville now.
No, it's not even the one I was thinking about. But yeah, it's so interesting. Yeah. It's such a, well, I mean, it is. It's like performative homelessness. And then, you know, we also have to remember that 2012, we're coming off of recession. And you saw during recessions, you have a lot of like hobo aesthetics. Like this was filmed in 2011,
right?
Written in like 2010, 2011. So like the aesthetic of being homeless is really popular during recessions because people like to cosplay poverty, especially during those times.
Do you remember how iCarly was obsessed with the word hobo?
Oh my god, obsessed.
Oh my god.
They said hobo so much.
They really wanted us
in a way like you would never. I mean, it's, hobo's kind of out of the lexicon fully.
Nobody is talking in that way.
It's a Jerry Seinfeld funny word, though. And that's what they like.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I can just picture Miranda Cosgrove being like, hobo!
Oh, there's a hobo!
There's a hobo in my toast! It's like something so stupid.
Like, can we be normal?
It's like you're being victimized by Nickelodeon.
And yet, she continues. Jeanette couldn't convince her otherwise.
Paramount Plus.
That's for another podcast.
That's for next rewatch.
iCarly reboot rewatch. I'm starting my...
Period. What was your favorite party episode, Evan?
I was thinking about this. I really like the scene before Adam Driver gets hit by the car, or even including the car. Because I think the conversation is very interesting where it's like...
It's an amazing way to heighten the scene.
It's an amazing way to heighten
the
scene. To go
ahead and like button it with him fully getting hit by a car.
Well, 100%. Right. But it's like, I think the conversation being like, because you're 11 pounds overweight.
And you know, I'm 13 pounds overweight. Yeah. And it has been the struggle of my life.
Every day. It's like, yeah, girl.
Yeah, girl.
Well, it's so interesting. Or it's like, I'm not just scared. I'm more scared than everyone else. And I think we all, at least I feel this way, where it's like, I think my emotions are so much more heightened than anyone else. Because I think there's no full way to ever describe an emotion to someone. Because you can't describe an emotion and the person automatically feels it. So it's impossible for anyone to ever understand emotion fully. Like words, art can only do so much of an image. And like maybe you are so chosen that you can feel an exact energy from art, but I think it's near impossible. Words will never be enough to actually feel something. So I think it's impossible to ever
feel
it. As Dear
Evan Hansen once said, words fail.
And they do. No, I was thinking.
No, thank you for doing that. I'm trying to be analytical, and you brought Dear Evan Hansen into this, and you know that's one of my triggers.
No, I was thinking about this scene too, because I think this is also like where the character of Adam starts to feel so hollow to me too, of like, because he like has this like righteous moment where he's like, you've never felt struggle. And he always does this to Hannah. He's like, you don't know anything. You've never felt struggle. You act like you're so put upon, blah, blah, blah. But then he's the exact same way.
He doesn't know struggle.
His grandma's bankrolling him. Like he doesn't have an especially hard life either. Like and I think it was like a type of masculinity that was a little different back then that I don't know, like he just has this like sense of just like, he's like, you don't know what you're doing and blah, blah, blah. And it's just like all of this way of talking to her that like feels so like righteous. And like, I think if you're not paying a lot of attention can feel so like true, or like he's just telling her the truth when actually he is.
No,
like Hannah was right. Hannah was right. He's scared too.
Yeah.
And he's acting like he's not because that's his defense mechanism.
And he's yelling like, at her for not succumbing to.
Right.
Whatever emotion he's ready to have now.
And he's in this like prison of masculinity.
Well, all men that, like, think they're more scared than women because they have no idea how to process their emotions.
Right. And well, earlier in the episode,
I think he knows how to process emotions better than me.
You don't have them. We can't talk about that. It's like, we don't have 4 hours.
But like I was thinking also, like earlier in the episode, right after Marnie leaves and Hannah and Adam are back in the apartment. And Hannah like feels bad about it because she had this huge thing happen in her life with her best friendship that blew up. And Adam's just like, I even wrote down what he said. He says,
exactly.
he's like, don't worry about it. He says you're forming yourself every time you shed a layer, which is like,
so annoying.
Again, this like this masculine idea that like,
you're not
you only become yourself through like violence or like reducing yourself.
Yeah,
or like,
she's like, I feel guilty. And he's like, no, you should just be like, fuck.
Right, exactly. Man. She's like, I feel bad. This is making me feel bad. And he's like, you shouldn't. And he thinks he's smart because he says like, you just shouldn't feel emotions. Let's go have sex. When it's like, the girl you claim to love is telling you how she feels about one of the biggest relationships in her life crumbling all of a sudden. And like, you are nagging her about it. And you're telling her that like every time she something bad happens to her, she's becoming more herself, which is just like, I hate that idea that like anyone has like a true self at the core. It's like you're always yourself.
Have you ever met anyone that's a true self?
No.
They're actually, if you have met them and they say they're actually one of the most annoying people you've ever talked to.
And right. It's all a facade.
It's all a facade.
And it's just like this masculine idea that we have to be like brutalized into becoming the person that we are. Like we have to go through all this noble struggle. It's Cadet Kelly. It's like we don't have to go through like noble struggle to like become who we are. Like we can just like grow.
Sorry, it literally
it is Cadet Kelly.
It's Cadet Kelly.
It's Kelly.
U.S. military.
Don't get me started on that.
Oh my God.
Oh, I wish we had gotten ribbons for the last episode of the season.
In white not enough?
Oh yeah, we're on all just Friday, in white. Am I allowed to be looking at the camera?
Yeah, I always say it's Fleabag.
On Friday, I was being like, I feel emotions more intensely than everyone's ever existed. That's all I said on Friday, 400 times.
I know. I texted Charlie. I was like, Evan's realizing
things. That's why I had to go home.
Evan's realizing emotions today.
Well, I still do think I feel emotions.
Is famously an ADHD thing where you feel rejection more intensely than the average human.
No, it is.
My sister taught me that.
I thought I taught you that. Oh.
No.
Well, it is true. I just feel rejection so intensely.
And I reject so quick, before though. I can be rejected.
Like, for the most part.
Life hack, guys. Reject them first. Hello.
I'm not scared of rejection, but I hate the feeling of it, which is insane. Oh. It's like I'll put myself out there and then I guess maybe not enough. The whole segment is talking about Hannah's body being how she is externally affected. Like Amelia, you were talking about earlier, how it's like, you like this show because it's finally giving a voice to girls that are not traditionally as pretty to actually speak about issues. And I mean,
literally, because it's like all we had was One Tree Hill. Like everybody was size zero and it was just like not spoken about. To be a girl was to be small. Like there wasn't other options. And she went ahead and was like,
I exist and I'm actually
a person and I'm going to say, and I'm going to talk about life.
And like, I feel like that exchange that like you're 11 pounds overweight, I'm 13 pounds overweight and my life has been hell. Like that is just like such a like, it's a key to unlocking like exactly who that both of those characters are.
Yeah.
And it's also like such a wink from Lana, like to Lana. Lena. It's such a wink from
Lana.
But it's such a wink to Lana. Why do I keep saying it? It's such a wink from Lena Dunham to like the audience. Because
the
first
line of the whole damn show.
Right. I mean, and let's not forget that almost every single conversation had about girls for the entire first year it came out was like, did you know a woman that's not size zero has sex?
Right. And like, it's like the further and further we get away from it, it's like she was a small woman.
But literally when it came out, everybody was like, this obese woman's fucking
exactly.
on TV. And it's like she's winking to the viewer. Like
she's like, yeah, I know.
I'm 11 pounds of like.
But then Adam's like, you don't think you're pretty. You don't think you're smart. Well, you know what? You are pretty. You are smart. You are talented. It's like so powerful that he gets hit by a car and then carried away. Mm-hmm. Such an insane punctuation. Like from Amanda, it's so extreme to have such an insane punctuation as his exit. From the season and theoretically even from the whole show that he's being pulled away in an ambulance. Like that is what it's just so interesting that someone his broken heart is also kind of visualized.
Yeah. Right. And he's immediately punished for what he's like for that exchange. Like he's punished by the universe. And then it goes to the ambulance and he won't let her in. He's still yelling at her because he's just like still. He's so it's caught up in this. He is in a prison of his own creation.
It's like when it's like when this Elijah and Marnie slap and they're like, okay, the conversation's over now. It's like he had the slap and then he's like, the conversation's still going because I'm not gonna like let this sit.
Right.
I have to fight it out.
Right. I also love just like whenever someone's in the street in a show, they're gonna get hit by a car.
I know. Or like anytime there's a car scene, I'm like, can there not be a crash? And it's like a sitcom for kids.
Totally.
I'm like, why am I stressed?
The famous Quinn Fabre when she gets hit on the way to the wedding.
Oh, I don't really remember me much.
Maybe I'll do that.
Viewers, listeners, write in.
I hear something.
Oh, God. What is that noise? Oh, my God.
Put it on damn vibrate.
You know what I think it is? I think it's
quote o'clock. I wore white.
That, I also wrote that down.
I wore white.
I had no way of knowing.
Oh, I love when Adam walks in and can't get into the wedding, and he just yells up at Hannah. She's being very elitist and cruel. It's like, get over yourself.
He goes, my name was on that sheet of paper. And he looks up at her and goes, you look very beautiful. I hated that.
The quote where Lena is trying to get out of work, but is like, my throat just feels kind of allergic and scratchy. It's just hotness.
Yeah, expired my Lanta.
Yeah, we
you
both
know when
Googled
you're
it.
You're going to get sick. And you don't?
Yeah.
You're, you know you're about to get sick.
Because it is like every time your throat hurts, you're just like, I feel allergic to something. Like that is how people talk.
I like when Elijah and Marnie run into each other at the wedding. Marnie goes, hi, Elijah. He goes, hi, J-Lo at the Grammys. Because she's wearing that stupid dress in her hair. So.
Yeah, no, it's so funny. She literally
she does look like J-Lo at the Grammys.
Yeah, she created Google Images in that fucking dress.
Literally.
Yeah, I'm Marnie in that way.
And then Marnie goes, this is actually very you-coded as Marnie. She just goes to him, I hope you find what you're looking for. And then walks away.
So powerful.
And then for Elijah now to be replacing Marnie in the housing situation.
Right.
You know what? Poetic so justice funny. Comes. And let's just say
Wait,
that.
Wait, that's so true. That whole scene is like a shift. It's an exchange. Yeah. Changing of the guard.
No, it's changing of the guard. Elijah is now being Marnie.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that episode.
It's like all of these people who like, hate Hannah Horvath, but for some reason choose to like keep.
They don't hate her.
They do hate her.
Friend.
Yeah, but don't you hate all your friends? I don't.
Only you.
Now, I knew having Evan and Charlie and me all do a podcast episode together was going to cause problems, but I was hoping they'd happen post-wrapping, post-record.
Keep
for
going.
Them to happen live on There's the
so
air.
So much anger in my heart. But my therapist told me today when I have anger, it's very well padded, which is a really good thing.
I have raw anger. It's the only emotion I know about.
I have a lot of raw anger at the core that I can't access until I really have to. And that's when I Hulk out.
Yeah, you guys are exact
I've never
opposites.
Seen you Hulk out except when you said that one mean thing to me and it felt awesome.
What did I say?
You need new talking points.
Oh,
that was
funny.
Was honest.
No, it was like, you're so fed up.
Well, it's because you were so deep in your antidepressant. Now you're talking new again.
There was like
You
one,
are talking new.
There was like
2 months, you were saying the same three sentences over and over again.
I'm tired of being a girl boss. That was when you said that like for the 60th time. I was like,
I'm just a girl!
You need new talking
in
points.
In conclusion.
And it's like, what happened to Lena Dunham in the media is what's happening to me right now in front of my friends. And it's like being friends with not girls is a prison of its own.
I love that we've got the full gender spectrum.
Yeah.
I represented. Think it's really beautiful for you to be like, not girls.
Not girls.
I briefly wanted to mention that we haven't seen Shoshana do anything clever or witty this whole season, but when she makes a sarcastic comment
at
Marnie,
I about
died.
I love that. I almost wrote that down.
She was like, Marnie was like, I'm actually in a really great place in my life. And then Shoshana out of nowhere is just like, totally, everything you own is in trash bags in my kitchen.
Yes, I love that. It was so good.
I about died. I was like, Shosh, you went there, girl.
Right.
It's such a snippet to what's to come.
And that's just like, and it's like such a, it's like such the Shoshana
it's foreshadowing
character. Yeah.
When Shoshana's done.
Like Shoshana's the only one who has ever seen through any of this. Yeah. Like she,
Her being so pissed about the wedding. It's perfect.
Right. It's
like,
so good.
How dare my cousin get married?
And she kisses a girdle and it's, or what is it? It's like.
That's the other thing we didn't talk about with Jessa. Like at the end of the vows when she's like, is it time to pull off the garter yet?
Yeah, the garter.
I love her Jessa accent, by the way. And she's like, oh, come on. And like rips off her own garter belt. And it's just like.
And throws it at Marnie. And Marnie's just like.
No, and it's just like this, like,
oh.
The flowers.
Yeah.
It's like this calculated.
And she's so upset.
I'm
spontaneity. That's just like so Jessa. It's just like so. I don't know.
It's
it just feels
violent.
So accurate.
It felt so painful to watch. I was like, this girl is going through something.
Like, she's
so right
lost.
She's so lost. Bobby Moynihan being in this episode, hilarious.
I love that so much. I get what Marnie's seeing. And I
you crush on Bob.
I don't crush, but I see how in the moment you could. I love when Marnie's like cracking up at all of his jokes about the cake. She's like been in this relationship her whole adulthood. What? Why are you laughing at me? You're also mad at me.
No, Evan, it's not about you, actually.
It's like this moment where Marnie has like been in her whole, had this relationship her whole adult life. And she's like, it's like been her entire sexual experience. It's been everything for her. And she's like so caught up in it.
Didn't
and
she
now,
fuck somebody in high school?
Yeah, but like generally, yeah, like this is what for most of her life has been. And then like all of a sudden she's
surprised
like.
Surprised by how early she loses her virginity.
Before Jessa. Before when Marnie Jessa. Finds right. out she lost her virginity before Jessa and was like, damn.
But she's like finally just like free of it. And now she's just like. Like she's like doing something.
Well,
kind
it's
of,
because
Charlie
it's the whole
too.
Like
yeah, because Charlie,
whole,
Charlie makes her
Marnie,
horny.
Charlie being like, "Are we still gonna do that thing where we like broke up, but we're still gonna have a thing and like do something dumb?" And then Marnie is like, "No,
no, no everyone loves to tease Marnie, no, and no other character in the show are people teasing him. Yeah, like Marnie is getting teased by men, like this, like fake performative flirtation, like with the art guy."
Totally. Oh yeah, Yorma.
Well, is it fake flirting or real?
No, it's real flirting, but it's like it's so like everyone's like performing it at her.
Right.
It's because she is such like the most conventionally attractive out of the four of them, or like and like not Jessa, which is so guarded.
Yeah.
Where it's like people can like feel like they want to tease really hot people.
Yeah.
And like feel like they have the upper hand. Cause then I think in a lot of situations with really hot people, people like they already are starting out as a disadvantage. So they do whatever they can. I think right. sometimes in those situations to feel like they can get the upper hand.
And like when someone like that does present as having their life really together and like being yes. all buttoned up, like it for some reason, like
so
it like opens you up to being like ridiculed and like being so made fun
wanna,
of
like,
by
I
all of your friends.
I want to throw a rock.
Oh my god, during Jess's speech, Adam's eyes twitch because he's being so moved.
Oh yeah.
Like the way his eye is fully twitching, amazing acting. And then Hannah's like, huh? Like Adam's just like, this is so powerful. And then Hannah's like, please. And then time is a rubber band. Your dreams are not what you thought they'd be.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I wrote that down.
Yeah, like when Adam's talking to when Hannah's like, they just met. Adam's like, time's a rubber band.
Right.
That was beautiful. Well, I think also going back to Adam, it's like, Jesus Christ, kid, save your strength. We're in it for a long haul.
And that's again.
And then Hannah gets scared, so she hides her face in her chest.
But
girls
this is
love
why people,
to do that.
No, exactly. This is why people like Adam Driver. It's because he says stuff like that, and he's like big.
But that's again, it's like Adam Driver, or what his name's Adam in the show. Like, he's like hiding this immaturity behind this, like, guy facade of like hyper maturity, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of where this, it's like a very emotionally intelligent guy,
right? And it's like, no,
you're
like,
intellectualizing
the girl
your feelings.
The girl you claim to love is having like real thoughts about how relationships look and work, and you're like just like speaking down to her about it and like acting like you know everything.
So belittling.
It's so belittling.
It is belittling, but I think it's also in a sense where it's like, I think people feel very comforted by this. Like, yeah. It feels very protective. It's like, it's also yeah. uses the word kid a lot towards her,
you
which is like,
kid.
I think a lot of people like enjoyed a sense of like in a relationship, they don't have to necessarily take full
right.
control. And like, Adam is making the direction. Like, I think a lot of us have decision. Like, my friend made one decision today, like, where to sit. And they're like, sorry, am I being a literal dictator? Because they literally were like, can we sit at this table instead?
Right.
It's like, am I being a literal dictator? I felt so bad about it. And it's like really insane for, I think it's really hard for a lot of people to make decisions. Either you're so good at it or so like laissez-faire, because we really have people that make decisions and don't. That's the whole concept of leadership.
Okay, I love when Shosh is like, are you punking me?
Are you punking
oh my God, me? I love that.
Oh, when she says, my aunt says it feels like scratching a sunburn.
Yeah, it's like, oh. That's also so Shoshana. It's like, of course her aunt was telling her about sex
right.
and said that.
And that, you know, that's something she heard, probably heard when she was like 12 years old.
And
like
really
and sitting
in
the kitchen
mind.
And like that is locked up in her mind about like what sex is and how it feels.
Literally.
My last quote that I have is when Hannah gets off the train at the very end and she like
yeah,
yells across. She's like, where am I? And the girl's like, you're in heaven. You're in heaven.
It's
and then
so New York.
Right at the end, one of them goes, does she have a green belt on or am I tweaking?
I love that.
I love that.
When
because
Hannah
it's like
ends up
the green
the
belt.
Last sentence too. of the season.
Yeah, it's the last book in season. And the green belt is the star of the episode. Oh, and I love when Hannah walks up to the wedding. She's like, hey, party time. My shoes match my dress. Kinda.
I literally love Hannah in this episode.
I love Hannah in this episode.
Entire episode, I was just like, wow, she actually has an amazing personality.
Yeah, she's super endearing in this episode.
No one's talking about how fun she is. She's so fun and sweet.
She's so fun and sweet. And yeah. She's lying on the ground of a bathroom.
This is a really winning episode for Hannah.
Yeah, I was like, I like this crazy girl.
Totally.
Also, when she walks like Coney Island, eats the cake, that is so me. Coded, when I lived in LA, anytime I like went to a party, the next day I would just like hungoverly like go to the beach so I didn't have to like, because of anxiety.
Would you eat cake?
I would like get like something weird from Erewhon and then like, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I literally think I've bought like a slice of like red velvet cake from Erewhon. Walk to the Santa Monica like pure
on or
and
off
just
season.
Like ate cake. Literally, it's always on season there.
My fourth year of college when I was like living there, but it was all COVID, so all the classes were online. Like basically like, there was nothing to do. So basically like every morning I would just like go and get a bagel from this place called Bodo's and then drive in my little Prius to like into the mountains of Central Virginia. And there's this little like lake at the top of a mountain called Beaver Creek. And
I ski there.
Different Beaver Creek. There was just like a parking lot and you would just like go sit at the water and like be with yourself.
Would people kiss there?
No, it was like a very hidden thing.
It wasn't kissing edge.
It wasn't every Boston Pants was, when Tina Fey makes out on the cliff.
No, it wasn't old rag. But it was just like kind of like, what did you say?
So amazing to remember old rag.
Well, I'm from there.
How is that?
It's in Virginia.
That chapter of Tina Fey's book is Charlie's entire college.
Yeah.
My did she go to UVA?
Yeah.
I thought she went to Northwestern.
No, baby.
That's Louis Dreyfus.
That's Seth Meyers you're thinking of.
And Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Yeah.
but...
Please.
But anyways.
The son went there and Sex Lights of College Girls. The tall guy.
Charlie Hall.
Oh, yeah.
Charlie Hall.
He played on their basketball team, too, at Northwestern.
Yeah, he lived on the same floor as my cousin.
They hook up.
No.
No.
She met her husband, future husband, the last semester.
Perfect.
And we like to say that we were both reaching for the brisket at Hillel.
That has nothing to do. Wait, but yeah, let's talk about that last scene.
The last scene is so me living alone in LA.
Yeah.
Like that entire scene is what it felt like to live in LA during the pandemic.
Well, she knows the experience of being like having emotions and not fully understanding how the words to process it and like trying to be an emotionally intelligent adolescent. Like she's
right.
So good at describing it. Like adolescents always are describing, we're always doing, when we have emotions, we're like, we're going to be smart about it and we act in the weirdest ways possible that like we're not harming anyone. And we're like, we're not necessarily being like bad, but it's like we're doing weird things to compensate for the awkwardness inside our bodies.
My entire experience on that coast.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, it felt like very real to just like need to like go to the water and like whatever.
Literally, or to be like, I'm in Coney Island. Well, I'm going to walk around instead of trying to go to my house.
Exactly.
Like, that's so like, oh, I lost my purse. Instead of stressing out about that, I'm going to take a long solo walk and look at the ocean.
Right.
That's
and it's like for
do on Earth.
Yeah.
For Hannah Horvath, like the queen of the freak out, the queen of anxiety, the queen of being scared, for like it to for her to like wake up without her purse somewhere she doesn't know where she is and not to freak out and to just like go with it and like go eat her cake and make a morning of it or whatever.
That's why her mom cut her off.
Right. Like that is like such a specific moment of character growth and development. And it's like
the perfect
it's not really
way to
in any,
end the season.
Right. It's not in any like specific direction, but it's just like she is changing. She's approaching things differently. And it's because of all these crazy things that have happened to her and just like how her life is developing.
Do you think the show could have ended here? Like, I mean, obviously it shouldn't have, but do you think it could have?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Everyone's stories are wrapped up pretty nicely. I also caught an Easter egg, which is when she is walking through Coney Island. Like the shot where she's like, it's a shot from her from really afar. So she looks really small.
She's walking down the thing.
And she's walking next to the cyclone.
Oh,
and
wow.
She's under a sign that says furniture. And I was like, she's tiny furniture. Tiny furniture.
Oh my God. That is so
fun. Is that
fun.
Real?
Letterboxd.
Wait, tiny furniture.
3.5 stars.
TikTok. Make sure this is really good. This is a perfect TikTok.
Okay, yeah.
You should post on TikTok all of Tiny Furniture in like 90 second clips. 90 second clips. With gameplay underneath.
Perfect. Okay, we need to close out with our last.
We're not going to have light in the next
segment. Yeah, we're losing light. So last segment. That outfit.
In Brooklyn.
That is the ugliest effing skirt I've ever seen.
No one would be belting a dress the way Hannah belts a dress.
No one would be belting a dress.
None of the clothes would be worn. I love Ray's blue puffy tuxedo shirt. I also I also think Charlie looks so really hot in his skinny suit.
Charlie looks hot in his suit.
And Adam's whole getup, I think, is great and really on the nose for like Brooklyn hipsters.
Fuck, marry, kill Ray, Adam, Charlie.
Wait, I would.
Fuck Adam, marry Charlie, kill Ray.
No, I'm not with you on that. I would probably fuck Charlie, marry Ray, kill
marry Ray,
Adam.
We're gonna kill Adam, marry Charlie, fuck Ray.
Kill Adam, fuck Charlie, marry Ray.
You would marry Charlie?
I think it'd be fun to hook up with someone with my own name.
Fuck too. Ray.
But I wouldn't want to marry someone with my own name.
I'd fuck Adam, kill Ray.
Yeah, exactly. We're
all. It's like he's hot. Like I would fuck Adam.
I wouldn't want to marry Charlie.
But I'd want to fucking kill Ray. Like that would be satisfying. Whereas like killing Adam wouldn't really be that.
No, to date a guy who does a tech startup and then does cocaine. It's like, I want to marry that.
I just liked him in the suit. That was hot.
I thought he looked great in the suit.
Ray, every time he opens his mouth, I want to see him suffocate.
I like him, unfortunately.
I think you could fuck him if you have the right. If there's a right tension with Ray, it'd be an amazing fuck because it's like, I want that anger and like that crazy little bazaza.
Right.
It's like so fun for to have that in a sexual setting one time. But if I'm not having it with Ray, I'm going to fuck Adam.
I just think like Adam is, yeah. I think Adam is a immature, like ticking time bomb. And I think that Charlie is really boring and sad. And I think
he is.
Well, that's why I'm saying I think. And I
of course I'm marrying him.
Think Ray is the only one who knows himself.
Oh my God, can you imagine how cute the kids would be?
And sometimes it's better not to know yourself. Or if you know that much about yourself, you should go ahead and make those changes.
Don't you think Ray and I would be cute like Brooklyn dads? He's a little older than me.
I can't stand that man.
Okay, can I do my favorite quote?
Okay.
I thought we moved on.
We're past the quotes.
I forgot to say, Kiki time. Is it me or is that just adorable?
We're Morgan. Oh, yes. I love when she finds Bobby Moynihan adorable.
Kiki time.
It's like I'm marrying Bobby Moynihan. Shosh's dress wouldn't happen anymore. No, especially with those shoes.
And the hair. Please, it's too tight.
I need a ponytail.
Have a little fun, Shosh.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys.
Oh my God. Okay.
Is that the end?
That kind of brings us to the end of the episode. Thank you guys so much for tuning in.
This is such a pleasure, Charlie. I love you so much.
Thank you guys. Truly, thank you so much for having me. I really did enjoy this.
So much. Isn't he so smart? I love having a smart friend. Charlie, where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at CP_Flynn.
Perfect.
Or TikTok. Twitter at the same thing.
Twitter and TikTok are at ChardyPF.
And if you ever want to see me and Charlie live, we host a show together. Follow us at the earlier show. We're always doing wacky stuff.
And I'm obsessed with everyone listening, watching. It's like you guys have given Amelia and I purpose in life.
Yeah.
And had nothing 3 weeks ago.
No, it's been so great. We're so excited for season 2. We've got a lot more in store.
We have exciting stuff to share with you guys. And so next episode is a recap of season 1.
Yeah, we'll be kind of looking at the character arcs from season 1 and then talking through everything we just watched and talked about in this first season before we dive into season 2.
And then hopefully we'll have an exciting announcement too.
Yes.
Okay, well, we love you. Thank you so much.
If you haven't, please rate, review us, subscribe on YouTube.
Please.
We'll see you next week.
People hate Hannah and take that out of us.